right in, especially with what Brother Rusty taught on Sunday. My message tonight is preach Christ crucified. Amen. To preach Christ crucified. So if we turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll go ahead and read some of the scriptures. Here we are. Okay. I'd like to start with verse 17. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." And then let's skip down to verse 21. "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." And then, But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." And then let's go over to chapter 2 and start from verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." That's the text I would like to use tonight. And then, you know, I would like to just see that this is to us, to preach Christ crucified. You know, chapter 2 tells us, some of us think we're just not able to preach the gospel. We can't preach, we can't talk. Well, that's what Paul says about himself. He says, "I came not with excellency of speech." He says, "or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." We all know that. We all know that Jesus Christ was crucified for us. And that's what we can preach, Jesus Christ crucified. He says, "And I was with you in weakness." You know, he was weak. He says, "I was in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He didn't, even though he was a great speaker, he didn't think of himself as a great speaker. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." It didn't sound like something that would, you know, just people would hunger to see and to hear. But it was in a demonstration of the Spirit and in power. And we all can identify with that. It's hard just to go out and preach on the street. It's hard to preach the gospel. Even with friends and family, it's hard to just share the gospel. We're shy. We're afraid of what's going to happen to us. We're afraid we're going to be rejected. So, and then the devil is always fighting against you. So it's, I mean, I know in my own heart that it's hard to preach the gospel. But that's what we're told to do. You know, Paul says, we'll go back to chapter 1. He says, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And you know, what is the gospel? It's so easy. It's a simple gospel to preach the gospel. If you would turn to chapter 15, in the same 1 Corinthians, this is the gospel. It's a simple gospel. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand. Pardon? Oh, okay. By which you also saved, you know, by the gospel which we were saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, unless you have believed and you didn't really believe. And then he says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ, that's the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So, that, you know, we're told to preach. Our pastor encouraged us and almost showed us that it was the command, the commission of the church to preach. And this is what we're to preach, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. You know, preach the gospel. That is the gospel right there. It's not real complicated. It's not really even too much for us to know. And we can all do it. We can all preach the gospel. We can preach that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. He didn't stay dead. And, you know, when we preach not with our wisdom. It's not with, you know, wonderful words, but we're preaching the cross. You know, we don't want to get any of the glory. We want everything to go to Christ. Let the cross of Christ be made none effect. You know, if people are listening to us because we're great speakers, well, then they're kind of getting their eyes off of the gospel, the cross of Christ. Because verse 18 tells us, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You know, to those that are perishing, the gospel is foolishness. That we would believe that a Jewish carpenter saved us for eternal life. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, to the lost, that sounds like foolishness. And verse 21, we read that it says, you know, for after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. If you were wise in the world ways, you wouldn't know God. You wouldn't. But it's verse 21. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, that's to the lost, our gospel is foolishness. And sometimes that makes us hard. It makes it hard for us to go out because we feel like fools. Because people would say, it's foolishness. But to those who believe, it's not foolishness at all. It's the power of God. And that's important to think, because it's the, you know, in verse, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, you know, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You know, it's God's power. The gospel is God's power. It may be foolishness to the lost. It may be foolishness to those who don't believe. But to us that believe, it is the power of God. And it's not just the power of God unto salvation. It's the power to heal. It's the power to deliver. It's the power that, you know, God provides and protects. It's God's power. The gospel is God's power that we have, and we can share that with people. But we must believe. You know, if you preach the gospel, the gospel is that Jesus died for you. The gospel is that he was crucified, he died and was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel. But people need to more than just believe. They have to repent. You know, we have to repent. If you believe and do nothing, then your faith is dead. You know, if somebody says, oh, yeah, I believe that Jesus died for me, I believe that he was buried, I believe that he rose again, people will say that. But if they just believe and don't repent, as as the book of James tells us, as the apostle James tells us, that your faith is dead if you don't act, if your faith is without works. If it's just faith alone, then your faith is dead. It's not really faith at all. But if you have faith and you do act on it, and the way we act on it is by the different things we do. If you believe that God heals you, then you pray and you believe you receive the healing. And if you pray for deliverance, you pray for deliverance for a person, then you believe and you want to see them delivered. Same thing with believing that God provides and God protects. You don't walk in fear that not all your needs are going to be met. You know, with all the, I mean, it's fearful to hear the news. It's fearful to hear that right around, not far from us, we hear about carjackings. You know, it's not very close to our neighborhood, people being carjacked. But I have no fear because I believe that God's power is greater than the police power. And God's power, even though a lot of folks, you know, believe in the power of the gun, the power, God's power is greater. And we can trust in God's power to protect us and not have fear, not walk in fear, not live in fear. You know, if you just believe, but it doesn't change the way you live, then your faith is dead. And that, we can even think of that because as I was, you know, talking and reading about this, am I preaching the gospel? You know, if we believe that that Jesus has commissioned us and commanded us to preach the gospel, I mean, we all believe that. We all believe that what we read on Sunday, you know, Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world and make disciples. We believe that's the word of God. But if we just believe it and don't do it, then that belief, our faith in God's word is dead. And that's a real, well, it's a motivation. You know, if we believe something, that we're going to act on it. You know, if you believe it's the word of God to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to go into all the world and make disciples, if you really believe that, then you'll do it. You won't just say, I believe that. I believe that's God's word, but I'm going to do it. Otherwise, my belief is dead. My faith is dead. And that kind of pushes me, because I do believe what Pastor Rusty taught on Sunday was the word of God, that we're to go. We're not just to believe. We're to go. And if we really believe it, if I really believe it, then I need to be doing it. I need to put legs on my faith. I need to act upon it. Otherwise, you know, my faith, my beliefs are dead. And I do believe that the gospel is the power of God. Not only just to save, of course it's the power of salvation, but it's the power of God to do all of God's things. You know, we have to believe, and the gospel is the power of God. You know, verse 21 says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." You know, if you just take worldly wisdom, you're not gonna know God, because it's by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what God has. That's what we're called to do. Even though the world thinks it's foolish, the world would say that's foolishness. That's how people are saved. It's not foolishness to us at all. And verse 22 says, "For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." And the Jews, when Jesus was preaching, the Pharisees said, "We want to see a sign." And Jesus told them, you know, it's only a wicked generation wants a sign. We don't need a sign. He said, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonah. You know, that Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. In the same way, Jesus said he would be in the tomb 3 days and three nights. And he also said that, I think it's an even greater sign of the preaching of the gospel. Jonah preached, and people repented. Nineveh repented. I mean, Jonah had a pretty simple message. It was only about 8 words, you know. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overcome, I think is the word. You know, yet he didn't preach much. He preached a short message. He said, 40 days, and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And what happened? It says the people of Nineveh believed. And they put on ashes and sackcloth. They repented. So that's a sign of the gospel. If you're preaching the gospel, people should repent. They're going to hear it. The Holy Ghost is going to convict them. And they're going to repent. Because there are people out there. You know, we don't know. We don't know when we're out there preaching who's going to hear that message and who's going to repent and be saved. You know, the Jews required a sign. They wanted to see something. It doesn't take faith if you see signs. You know, if you see a miracle, if somebody's out there and they see miracles, well, it's easy to believe. And that's what the Jews wanted. The Jews wanted to see something before they believed. But we're supposed to have faith and not act on what we see, not act on signs and wonders, because we do know that in the last days the devil is going to bring signs and wonders. So we can't base our faith on signs and wonders. We can't base our faith on what we see, but we got to base our faith on what we believe, that the word of God. But you know, even though you know, Mark 16 says we are to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. It says these signs shall follow them that believe. So there are signs. The signs follow the believers. These signs shall follow. You know, you'll cast out demons and you'll speak with new tongues and you'll, if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. And you'll be able to pick up serpents. You know, not that we drink deadly things or pick up snakes, but if that happened to us, that, you know, God would protect us. These signs would follow us, and that we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, those are the signs. There are signs. So, you know, we don't look for a sign. We don't require signs. But we do know that signs will follow our preaching. They follow the preaching of the apostles. They follow the preaching of Paul. If we preach the gospel, we can expect signs to follow. That's how we know that we are preaching the gospel, because, you know, God confirmed the gospel with signs following. And what are signs but miracles and wonders and things like that? So that encourages us to go out and to preach the gospel, because we do want to see people saved. We do want to see people set free and healed. And I think if we're preaching the gospel, I believe if we're preaching the gospel, then we will see signs following. And it's not, you know, I don't think it's we don't see signs following, but we do want to see that. And I think if we were out there and really truly preaching to the lost, we would see signs following. I think that's how God confirms that we are preaching the truth and that it is the truth. It says Greeks look for wisdom. The Greeks, they say they want to understand. They want it to make sense. Well, you know, to the lost, the gospel doesn't make sense. It's not man's wisdom. But that's what a lot of people want to do. They want it to make sense. Like the word for wisdom is Sophia, to understand. But to the lost, it just doesn't make sense. It sounds like foolishness. And we know that that's what we can expect. For the Jews require signs and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. That's what we do. We preach Christ died on the cross. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. You know, the Jews, when you preach Christ, when you preach Christ crucified, that was the way to get to God. It was a stumbling block, a scandalon. It was a scandal. It was a trap, an offense. That's what it means, a stumbling block, like a trap or an offense. To the Jews, it was a scandal. It was against the Jewish belief to believe that Jesus was the only way. So to the Jews, it was a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, to the heathen, it was foolishness. And you know, that's something that's going to happen when we preach. People are going to say that's foolishness, that's absurd. We can expect that because the Gospels tell us that. The Word of God tells us that to the lost, to the heathen, it is foolishness. It's absurd. But to them that are called, both Jews and Greeks. You know, so it's if you're a Jew or a Greek, it doesn't mean you're not going to get saved, because if you are a Jew or a Gentile, a heathen, but you receive, you're the called. You receive the invitation to get saved, then it's the power of God. And it's the wisdom of God too. It makes perfect sense to the saved. It sounds like foolishness to the lost, but to us it makes perfect sense. The gospel makes perfect sense to us. You know, we're sinners and we deserve hell. I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense to me. I haven't been all that God wants me to be. I've missed the mark. I've fallen short of what God calls me to do. And I deserve hell and death. But then the gospel says that Christ died for me, that Christ took my punishment, and that God accepted Jesus' death as a punishment for my sin, and I can be saved. And that the resurrection was proof that God accepted Christ's death on the cross as my payment for sin. That makes a whole lot of sense. So to the lost, the gospel is foolishness. But to us that are saved, it makes perfect sense. It's very, very good, very wise. I understand what the gospel is. It's not foolishness to me at all. It's not foolishness to us that are saved. We understand that we needed a Savior. What does it mean to preach Christ crucified? It means to preach that Jesus died on the cross. That's what being crucified meant, you know, to be hung on a cross. So when we preach the gospel, we need to preach that Jesus died on the cross. Not too many things we have to say. You know, you say, what do I say when I'm preaching? Well, preach Jesus. Preach Jesus was crucified on the cross. He died on the cross. You know, Jesus referred to his death on the cross as being lifted up, which is, you know, it's also translated the same phrase, which is exalted, you know, to glory or to gloat. You know, to be exalted or to exalt something is to triumph. And Jesus, we can think that when Jesus went to the cross, he was lifted up, he was crucified on the cross, but it was also a time of triumphant glory, time of joy. Now, let's read those verses that talk about when Jesus says he was lifted up. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verse 14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, we understand what the Lord was meaning here, that the Son of Man must be lifted up. It meant that he was going to be lifted up on the cross, that he had to die on the cross. And just as those in the wilderness looked to the serpent and were saved, they were healed, those that look to the Lord Jesus, when he's lifted up on the cross, will be saved. That's what verse 15 says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we see that phrase there, to be lifted up. And then Jesus said the same thing when he was talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, we could start with verse 27. Well, we could start with verse 24. He says, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, if you believe not that I am, that I am he. You shall die in your sins." And then verse 26 is, "I have many things to say to you, to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." It says, "They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father." Then said Jesus unto them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things." You know, here again we see Jesus referring to being lifted up, and that was his death on the cross. And then in chapter 12 we actually read that. That's what Jesus says. We know that being lifted up, being crucified, was death on the cross. In John chapter 12, if you look over there in the same Gospel of John to chapter 12, verse 32, John 12, 32. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Boy, that's a good promise. You know, that's what Jesus says. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We preach Christ crucified because Jesus says that if he is lifted up from the earth, he will draw men unto him. Verse 33 says, "This he said," signifying what death he should die. He was talking about being crucified, being lifted up on the cross. And then the people answered, verse 34, the people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up?" So they knew what Jesus was talking about, because they said the Son of Man abides forever, the Christ abides forever. How can the Son of Man be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Well, Jesus is speaking of his own death on the cross. You know, we preach Christ crucified because we believe that when we preach the cross, when we preach Christ crucified, Jesus will draw all men unto him. That's what he says. "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men." So we want to preach the cross. We will preach the cross. We will preach Christ crucified, knowing that he'll draw men to us. He'll draw men to hear the gospel. You know, preaching Christ crucified also means that we understand that Christ would be in an agony. It would be an agony to be crucified. You know, before his crucifixion, Jesus took his disciples to the Mount of Olives, and he asked them to pray with him as he prayed. We read that account in a good a portion of that account was in Luke chapter 12. It's in all the Gospels, but we do read in Luke chapter 12 this little account of Jesus taking his disciples into the garden, into the Mount of Olives, and asking them to pray with him. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and then, did I say 12? No, I meant 22. Luke 22, verses 40. We'll start in verse 40. You know, it says, well, it was the custom. Verse 39 tells us, and when he went as he was wont, as his custom, as he used to do, to the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and they followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. So he's telling the disciples to pray. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. And then the Lord prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So Jesus knew the suffering that he was going to go through on the cross. He knew he was a man, and he knew this was going to be a struggle. Verse 44 says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So, you know, Jesus was in an agony. He was in a battle, in a struggle. You know, the word here, in an agony, is kind of the idea like a wrestler in an arena wrestling, in a wrestling match. He was wrestling. I mean, he knew it was why he was sent to the earth, was to die. I mean, he said that in John chapter 3 and in John chapter 12 and in John chapter 8. He said he knew he'd be lifted up. He knew he would be crucified. But here he is in an agony, you know, struggling, saying, you know, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we know that from reading in Matthew and Mark that Jesus prayed this prayer three times. It was going to be a struggle for him. Preaching the cross, preaching crucifixion, it was going to be hard for the Lord. He knew what he was facing. He was facing not just physical pain. I think that was serious. The scourge and the crown of thorns and the nails and the cross, carrying the cross. It was physical pain. But there was also emotional pain. You know, he was mocked and spit upon. All his friends forsook him. This was, you know, the cross, preaching Christ crucified, is grief. It's grieving. You know, it's not something that we know that Jesus grieved, and there was heartache. You know, Jesus was a man of sorrow and well acquainted with grief, like we read in the gospel, not the gospel, but the book of Isaiah. You know, Isaiah, Isaiah 53, the chapter that tells us about Jesus' crucifixion. We can see that, you know, crucifixion was something that caused a lot of grief and sorrow. You know, Isaiah 53, verse 3, speaking of the Lord at his time of crucifixion, it says, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, this was crucifixion was not something that didn't cause you to, you know, all that was going on. There was much heartache. It wasn't just the pain, the physical pain, but it was the emotional pain and the sadness and the grief that the Lord had. You know, we just think about it. You know, the Lord's grief. Do we grieve like that? I mean, we read last week, last Wednesday, how it seemed that Ezra was grieving over the sinful condition of his people. You know, Sister Mercedes, did you want to point something out?
Yes. When I read that, and as you are explaining to us, I believe that, let's say, you know, preach Christ and Christ crucified, it means don't sell the gospel so cheap that people, yes, you know, come to Jesus and he's going to make your life so good because my life has never been harder since I came to the Lord.
That's right.
Because now I have to wait for his provision before I went there.
Right.
I never lacked it.
Right. That's right.
I mean, but we got to turn away from our, you know, from our life and carry the cross we see.
Yes.
All
yes.
This sorrow, when we're telling people about Jesus, we can just tell, oh, Jesus loves you so much, it's going to make your life. No, you got to repent because he went through all this, through this crucifixion, in order right. for you to be able to have eternal life, to have your best life there.
Right. That's exactly right. We can tell people that God loves them. I mean, that's John 3:16, yes, that God loves them. But we need to preach. We need to preach Christ crucified, that He died for them, and that if they believe that, if they believe that Christ died for them, they believe that Christ shed His blood, then they need to repent. You know, so that's what happened when Jonah preached in Nineveh. They believed God and they repented. And you know, the two steps to being saved. One is to believe the gospel, and the second thing is to put legs on your belief, to put works on your belief, and to repent, to change your life, to turn. So that's what we preach. We preach Christ crucified, and then we preach that if you believe that Jesus died for you, if you believe that he was crucified on the cross and that he suffered, then you're going to change the way you live. You're going to turn to serving him instead of serving yourself. So. But we do see that there was grief involved, and we need to preach that there was heartache. You know, we can just see that Jesus was grieving. His sweat became drops of blood. You know, it's like he knew what he was facing, and it wasn't just the pain of the cross. That was the physical pain, but the emotional pain of being mocked and spit upon. I mean, we never face that kind of pain. We don't face physical pain preaching the gospel most of the time. We may suffer some mocking or some ridicule, but it's nothing compared to the pain that Jesus received, the mocking and this, you know, Jesus grieved. There was much heartache. And we also have to remember that when we preach Christ crucified, like it says in verse 4 and 5 of Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs or borne our sicknesses. When Jesus was going to the cross, he was not just carrying away the sin of all the world, which is a pretty big thing if you think when you're bearing the sin of all creation, all men, all women, he was such a thing that would cause him to grieve. He also was carrying all of our sicknesses and all of our disease. You know, we don't realize that when Jesus went to the cross, it was such a thing for him that he was carrying with all the pain and all the sickness and all the disease that mankind would suffer. All the world and all the sin of the world, all this was put on our Lord and Savior. This was his crucifixion. This was when he was crucified, all that he was bearing, you know, our pain, our disease, our sin. You know, as it says in verse 5 of Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgression, the things we did wrong. That's why he was crucified, for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, for the iniquities that we did. and the chastisement of our peace. We have peace because he was chastised, because he took the punishment. And then with his stripes we are healed. This is preaching Christ crucified, that our Lord, our Savior, grieved and suffered. Then, you know, there's something else that we can think about when we preach Christ crucified, that, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, was the Word of life. He is the Word of life. He is eternal life. But when Jesus became a man, he died. He took on death. I mean, that was something that God never experienced. You know, God is eternal. God has eternal life. But as a man, Jesus died. That's part of being crucified, was death, death on the cross. We read that in Philippians, you know, that Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, being found in fashion as a man, that God became a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. You know, people will say, well, how can God die? Well, God became a man and took on flesh, and he did die. Can you imagine eternal life? God, who is eternal, had to face death. I mean, that's is almost incomprehensible to me, you know. A God who is eternal life never dies, lived forever and ever, but he took on the flesh of man and went to the cross and then took on death. We can learn from that, you know, because it's through death that we do receive eternal life. It's through Christ's death that we receive eternal life. As we continue reading in Philippians chapter 2, he says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. So because of death, because of the crucifixion, God exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things on earth and of things under the earth. And in verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it's through death. It's through death that we see resurrection. It's through death that we see eternal life. So the things that Jesus went through in crucifixion, you know, his death, his agony, the sorrow and the grief and the carrying away all of our sin, all of our sickness, all of our pain, and then to top it all off, that he suffered death. God, who was eternal, suffered death so that we could have eternal life. And we see that preaching Christ crucified also means that we are crucified. You know, that we are crucified with Christ. We are called to take up our cross. That's what Jesus says. If you want to be my disciple, you want to follow me, then you to take up your cross and follow me. And with, Jesus says that in the Gospels over and over again. But I would like to just read the time in Matthew chapter 16 for us to read that one time. Matthew 16, verse 24, it says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to follow Jesus, then you need to deny yourself. You need to take up your cross and follow him. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. You might have life on this earth, but you're going to lose eternal life. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, so it's preaching our crucifixion, our death. If we want to have eternal life, then we have to take up our cross and die on it. Our flesh has to die. It's interesting that the way this chapter of Mark chapter 16, the way it ends, he says, verse 28, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." You know, he's talking to his disciples, and he's saying, there be some standing here, some disciples standing here in front of me, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. They're all alive. And he's telling them, you shall not taste of death. Some people have said, as it goes on in chapter 17, it talks of the transfiguration, where Jesus goes up into a high mountain, and there he's transfigured before Peter and James and John, and Moses and Elijah are there with him. They're saying, well, that's what they're talking about, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. But I can understand that, but the way that I think that is, Jesus is preaching to his disciples, and he's saying, some of you are not going to taste of death. You're not going to die to your flesh till I return. And then it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late to, you know, taste of death. Put your own flesh to death, to be crucified with Christ. That's just my own reading of that. I could be wrong. It could be Jesus is talking about the transfiguration. But the way that I see it is, he's telling his disciples that some of you are not going to face death. You're not going to be crucified with me. And it's going to be too late when I come back till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Then it's going to be too late to taste of death, being crucified with Christ. And that's what we're called to do, to be crucified with Christ. Our old man, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, he says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him," our old man is crucified, "that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." You know, that being crucified with Christ, that's the same the same Greek word, crucified with, that they talk about the thieves that were crucified with Christ on Calvary. You know, they were actually crucified. They died up there on Calvary's hill. That's the same crucified with, one word there, one Greek word, crucified with, that they talk about the thieves who were crucified on the left and the right of Jesus. So he's telling us that our old man needs to die. Our old sinful man needs to die. It needs to be crucified with Christ. Because then the verses before that, verse 4 says, therefore, Romans 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So if we are crucified with Christ, then we do walk in resurrection life, in newness of life. And that's what we want. We want to walk in newness of life, our old man being dead, our old man being crucified. We walk in new life, resurrection life. Verse 5 says, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's why we preach also that we are crucified with Christ. When we believe that Christ was crucified for us, we also preach that we need to be crucified with him, that our old man, our old sinful man needs to be put to the cross. Paul says the same thing in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And we probably know this verse by heart. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. You know, I'm dead.
Amen.
That, you know, I've been crucified with Christ. My old man has been nailed to the cross. Yet I'm not... the life that I'm living, it's not my life, but it's Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live, after being crucified with Christ, after being dead to my own self, Christ lives within me. In the life that I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, you know. That's being crucified with Christ. So we preach Christ crucified. We also preach that it means that we're also crucified with Him. And I'd like to just close with, since we're right there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. You know, if we're going to glory in anything, he says, but God forbid that I should glory, that I should, you know, be lifted up, that I should be exalted, that I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm going to glory in anything, if I'm going to boast in anything, if I'm going to, you know, thinking of gloating, you know, it's almost like you win at something, you're so triumphant, you know, you're joyful and you're gloating. If I'm going to gloat over anything, I'm going to triumphantly, with joy and delight, think about anything, I'm going to rejoice, I'm going to gloat over the cross of Christ. That's what it says here. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anything is going to cause me to, you know, to triumph, to feel, you know, to think triumphantly and to think with joy and delight, it's going to be that the cross of Christ, that Jesus was crucified. Because it says here, by whom the world was crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know, we glory, we exalt in the cross of Christ, because the world is dead unto us. It's crucified, it's nailed to the cross. The world is nailed to the cross to us, you know, and that we are dead to the world. We are nailed to the cross to the world. If you're dead to the world and the world is dead to you, it doesn't affect you at all. And that's what we rejoice in. That's what we gloat in and glory in, that Christ was crucified for us. Just an encouragement that if we don't know what to preach, we can preach just like Jonah preached, just a few words, that Christ was crucified for you. He died on the cross for you. You believe that, then your sins are forgiven. But you also have to act on it. So when you're preaching the cross, when you're preaching Christ crucified, you know, you need to preach that they need to believe, but they need to more than just believe. A person needs to repent.
Amen?
Amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord. Just something we can know how to go with the gospel, what to do with the gospel, but to preach it. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, can I close with a prayer? You let me. You know, it's a prayer where I ask the Lord to help us and to forgive us. Father, we do ask you to help us to preach the gospel, not just on the street, but with our lives and with our friends and our family. And Father, we do need your grace, your help to do it. We know that you said when we do preach the gospel that you're with us. You don't forsake us, and that you're with us as we do preach the gospel. And we preach the gospel with your power and your spirit. It's not in our own flesh. And Father, we ask you to forgive us as we repent, that we do know that the preaching of the gospel, the preaching to go and to preach the gospel is your word, and we do believe it, Lord, but sometimes we haven't put actions in our belief. So that's what we pray, Lord, that you forgive us, that we believe without works, because we do want to be able to not only believe, but to put works with our faith. So, Father, we do ask you to help us and to forgive us and to strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord.